rolling, Jeff.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1280. 76 degrees was the high on this day in 1938, and it was 8 below on this day for the second day in a row in 1965.
Hail the flashlight, King!
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
I feel remiss that we haven't touched base with the lake detective on this absence of winter as we sit here trying to sort out what the meteorologists tell us about what's coming. And I think a conversation with the lake detective might be in order. He's at his headquarters, waiting out the storm. Is that true, lake detective?
Ha ha. Yes, kind of. You know, Mother Nature, she always evens things out. We start out warm, now we're going cold. It's confusing us. I'll tell you who's most confused. The fish.
Are they really?
Yes, right. There's northern pike are supposed to be spawning right now. It's cold. Now it was warm, then cold. Man, all these fish are going to be spawning at different rates, and they might not get off a real good spawn this year.
Have you been on any cases lately, or is this your slow season?
We are just gearing up. We got our we got our boat patched, all welded up. We had a few little leaks.
Sure.
We got our motors all are all tuned up. We'll probably be hitting it next week if the snow melts.
And right now you're in the office where your gun is in the drawer with a bottle of Jameson, and the long-legged blonde is out front monitoring phone calls and visitors.
Absolutely. Yes, with that time of the year right now. And you're right, the long-legged blonde is screening things and keeping us in shape as well.
How rough will this winter have been on the lakes?
You know, it's going to affect some species, but generally what is going to happen is by midsummer, we're going to be almost back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have low lake levels. Probably the biggest thing this winter was lack of snow. So we didn't have very much runoff. We're not getting very many nutrients coming into our lakes. They're probably going to be relatively clear this year,
right?
Or this summer.
Isn't that a good thing?
That is a good thing, except with the increased clarity and, you know, pretty water, sunlight will increase its penetration depth and probably start bringing up some native aquatic plants. So it might be a big bumper year, bumper crop for native aquatic plants.
I had an emailer who was curious about mercury levels in Minnesota lakes. Is that a big problem in Minnesota?
Not, you know, actually, mercury levels are starting to decrease in our lakes. They're still there. It just doesn't go away. Eventually, it'll be buried. But since we stopped the steel mill, believe it or not, steel mills down in Gary, Indiana, were a big source of mercury, of atmospheric mercury, which then drifted over with long-range transport and fell both dry fall and wet fall coming into our lakes. Almost all the lakes have some mercury in them. The problem is, fish will, as they're eating their forage and everything else, that mercury is kind of going through the food chain to a degree. But only the biggest fish would have any type of an advisory. And even then, it's like one meal a week, which typically we're not eating more than one meal of walleyes a week.
No.
Unless we go to Tavern on Grand.
Right. And they're closing anyway.
That's right. So we better hurry up.
Right. You know, we didn't touch base with you, but earlier in the winter, we had the story of a decimated deer on White Bear Lake. It looked like it was really, really ravaged apart. And we were wondering if it could have been wolves, but I think what we did is settle on coyotes. Does that make sense?
Yes, coyotes, and then if it's down for any length of time, maybe even some fox coming by to grab a bite or so. But it's rough. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there.
It is.
And we're gonna lose a few deer and other critters over the course of the winter and even the summer. But I tell you, urban wildlife is coming back, and it's coming back pretty strong.
Now, earlier in this conversation, you said everything's going to be back to normal by mid-summer. What are you basing that on?
Mother Nature just kind of evens things out. What's happening is a few species, like curly-leaf pondweed right now, is going to have a real benefit and real advantage based on the light snowfall and early ice out. But the native plants, they don't really respond to these environmental cues until June anyway. And by June, our temperatures will probably be close to normal, and it'll be kind of a regular type year. What's going to happen, probably maybe the biggest impact, will be on fish and possibly their fish spawning and the timing. If walleyes are spawning too early, they hatch out, and the fry, the young fish, don't have quite the food source they would typically have if they were spawning even 2 to 3 weeks later in the spring.
Okay.
So sometimes, as they say, timing is everything.
Right. Well, I'm glad to know your skiff is ready. The skiff is named Good Luck. You are about to take on cases. You are the lake detective, and it's always heartening to talk to you on a positive Thursday. I think this is all on a positive note.
Mm-hmm. We get a lot of good things happening. And the lakes this year they're going to be starting out low, but they're going to be in dang good shape by midsummer.
Wonderful, Steve McComas of Blue Water Science. You are the lake detective. You've never been stumped, and I thank you for checking in.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll be ready for anything. Keep me posted.
We will. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
Yeah.
Never been stuck. Isn't that great news?
Yeah.
In fact, here's an email. I'm hoping you'd be able to tell listeners in advance when the lake detective might be here. Well, he was just here.
Yeah, sorry. Whoops.
And
make sure to listen.
Yeah. And I wanted to say that we had the youth climate change coordinator for the UN as the young Pakistani-American who believes white people are the cause of climate change, and she singled out the white corporate leaders of oil companies, for example.
Huh.
If we could only get rid of them, everything would be perfect.
They're at fault, okay.
And I got a note from Chris who writes, I can't figure out how to spell that young woman's name from the UN, but her statements regarding white men and fossil fuels is entirely false. The top five oil companies in the world, ranked by market cap, are presided over by the following. Number one is Saudi Aramco. The president is Arim Nassar, a Saudi Arabian man. Two is ExxonMobil. President Darren Woods, a white American man. Number three is Chevron. The president is Mike Wirth, a white American man. Number four is PetroChina. The president is Duan Liangui, a Chinese man. Shell is number five. The president is Gretchen Watkins, a white American woman. In sum, two of the top five oil companies in the world are run by white men. To say this is white men's doing is categorically false. Well, of course it is.
Of course. They don't fact check themselves.
No, and they don't understand their own irony. You don't know how precious the movement's gotten, though?
Give me some preciousness.
I'm going to give you some preciousness. The people running the Paris Summer Olympics, I'm sure they'll excuse themselves in their executive suites, but they're not going to allow any air conditioning.
What?
Oh, yeah, because that would be hurting the earth. And they say they've designed buildings so that they would be comfortable to live in the summer. We don't need air conditioning because we've oriented the facade so that they wouldn't get too much sun during the summer. And the facades and the insulation is efficient, said Jan Krasinski, who was directing the service of infrastructure for the Games. Now, he'll retire to an air-conditioned office
right,
every afternoon.
I'm sure of it.
But the athletes will be sleeping in...
I bet that'll smell really nice.
In virtually Stalag wood cabins, it sounds
gross.
Like. And they'll be nice and warm. But and once the Games are over, the buildings... to house athletes will become housing for up to 6,000 Parisians. The attempt to make carbon footprint history does not come without risks. Some 5,000 people died in France last year due to oppressive heat, and forecasters have claimed there is a possibility of similarly sweltering conditions this summer as well, but that won't be true of the Summer Olympics because they're going to be a climate change hysteria free zone, so they won't have any heat there.
Got it.
That'll be blocked.
I'm seeing words like scorcher being used for the summer's predictions. And doesn't Paris already smell like dirty underpants anyway?
Yes, it does.
I'm sure this will be lovely.
Yeah. I had deep thoughts on the service road of life.
Let's go, bro. This is your forum.
Well, half the country apparently thinks everything's fine, everything's pretty normal, right? And the other half, there's a vibe in your head that's saying things aren't right. Things are off a little.
Okay.
And I began to list them in my mind. Now, maybe it makes a difference that I live in the sustainable urban core. Maybe you distant staff members don't sense a lot of this. For example, quite a few streetlights are out. In and of itself, that's something we can survive. But as you drive along, there's a street light that's on, and then the next one, you can see the violated cover at the base of the street light and the protruding wires. Gas prices are high. Food prices are high. Last night, the local news had a segment, a happy segment, about dogs with security forces patrolling the Mall of America.
Okay. The footage I saw, a dog was sniffing a gal's butt.
I know she went. The dog went after her butt twice.
It's just
can't blame her.
And
wow.
I thought, okay, that's the times we live in. But it wasn't that long ago that wasn't the time we lived in. When the CP first started haunting the Mall of America, there were no dogs ready to take a bite out of anybody.
I see what you're saying.
So you got dogs, and you got streetlights, and you got grocery prices.
But
and you
wouldn't
got
that
gas
correlate
prices
with the decline of civility?
Yes, and then you've got, not on all streets, but if you go up and down University Avenue, you can see quite a bit of trash. Mm-hmm. And we've come to understand that the light rail is essentially use at your own risk, which I don't think is hyperbole. So there's these vibes we have that tell us, those of us who are on the side of something isn't right, that something isn't right. And then I compounded the deep thought by wondering about Mary Moriarty. We have the lead story in the Star Tribune today, another story on the idea that Lundgren was acting precisely as he was taught to act. For use of force, experts are acknowledging that he did not misbehave or he did not disregard his training. The forces, the patrol's own trooper in charge of such things says he followed protocol. And it seems what's happened now is there's a little bit of a bickering war between the defense and Moriarty's office and the governor, typically struggling to discover where he should be on this, is weighing in. And I heard former Judge Kevin Burke on the news last night saying that was a mistake on the governor's part.
Which part?
The weighing in on this.
Okay. Initially or most recently?
Most recently. Okay. And the mistake would be that he's not allowing the justice system to proceed with its own form, and he's weighing in. But I think what's happened is even Walls has recognized why is the county attorney disregarding the testimony of the very expert she hired? And then you have Moriarty fighting back, saying you're taking sentences and words out of this guy's findings out of context. Well, it's a 37-page report. And as Burke noted, the defense can't introduce the whole 37 pages at trial, so they took sentences that say Londrigan was following his protocol, and Moriarty wants to insist that that's taken out of context, and it doesn't seem that it has been. The context is that he was following protocol. Now, here's where I have my deep thought about Moriarty. Is she part, and I don't know the answer, I'm willing to be educated, is she part of a movement in the country that is dedicated to ruining the culture of law enforcement? Or,
yes.
Or, well, no, don't be so hasty. Or is she merely driven by her ideological belief that oppressed people must be rescued by the likes of her, and that a byproduct of her rescuing the oppressed would necessarily follow as an attack on law enforcement, with no overriding attempt to undo the American culture of there being right and wrong and having law enforcement? Have I drawn a deep enough divide in my deep thinking? In other words, is Mary Moriarty a truly bad person, or is she just a woman dedicated to her beliefs that, for all I know, she might have come by theologically?
Both.
Both.
Mm-hmm. Both. A and B.
Can
one
it
and
be
two,
can both. It be both?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number one as a result of number two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Her insane ideals have led to number one.
And but she's not hiding behind anything. Remember, she campaigned on this very thing.
But the reason to ask about her is that she is not behaving that differently from attorneys in other cities the closer you get to the country's tallest buildings.
Right, that's
are they, it's both. Are they acting in concert?
Yes.
To specifically speed up the demolition of the country?
Are you asking, have they held a secret meeting and this is what they've decided?
I can't come to that point, but you do wonder, is there a wizard somewhere?
Seems like it.
The wizard happens to be the person funding all of these candidates. Well, they're looking for an agenda.
George Soros.
Yeah.
And now that new rich gal, the divorced rich gal, who's throwing her money against behind Democratic stuff.
Right. I don't know that she's...
the Amazon gal?
She is.
No,
she
I don't is. Know that she's weighed in on county and district attorneys.
No, but Bill Glahn had a piece this morning.
Well, I'm going to get to Bill Glahn in a moment. Sure. He had a good piece in the American Experiment. But that's the deep thought I have. Are we witnessing an intended destruction of the country? Because I submit to you, if you let criminals go and do not require them to suffer consequences, you are speeding up the destruction of the country. You are condoning anarchy. Mm-hmm. You are condoning a complete disruption of the culture of right and wrong. And you would be hastening the development of a country that has nothing to do with our Constitution. It would probably, in fact, draw up some facsimile of what they might call a new Constitution. And it would not be the United States that you know. And why half the country can't see that is a puzzle to me. And a great portion of the country does see that, and a great middle ground is wrestling with it.
But Joe, the 50% of the country that might have a differing opinion would blame those mistakes on something else.
Let me ask.
We've
you
seen
something.
It all the time.
Along those lines, along that vein, you said in the beginning it might be different out in the outskirts, and it definitely is out here. Tell me why. Why you couldn't get away with that crap in Douglas County, Otter Tail County, you know, anywhere, St. Louis County. You can't get away with that as in the outskirts that you can get away with in the metro area. Why is that?
I guess my simple answer would be that, and it's happening. We've seen it happen. But my simple answer would be the farther away you get from the country's tallest buildings, you have yet to attract the people living there who are professional activists as a calling.
Interlopers. Yes, you're absolutely right. And that's what I'm glad you made that point. The people who are the county attorney or the public defender, the sheriff, the cops, all the deputies, police officers, they all have to deal with us every day because they come from us. They're not interlopers. They don't come from a movement somewhere. We not only do we know them, we know their parents and their grandparents, and we're not going to put up with their shit, and we're going to get right in their face. And they know that.
Well, plus they've lived and worked there.
Right, absolutely. And I think that's why you don't see it as much in the outskirts.
But you've begun to see it as close as St. Cloud, where we've followed
without a doubt.
Who wanted to address all sorts of...
Right, that little community right next to Sauk Rapids?
St. Joseph's.
Something like that, yeah.
But, you're far enough away that hasn't happened yet. You're far enough away that there is no money for a professional activist to make by going to wherever you live and campaigning for a city council seat.
Right. We know each other by first name.
Right.
Yeah. And we're going to see you at the convenience store, at Fleet Farm, or wherever.
Right. We're here, I'm glad you made that mention. It's something that's been in my craw for years. We're here in the urban core. Citizens never run into these, at least the citizens I know, they never run into school supers.
Yep.
They never run into city council members. The mayor is occasionally seen, but not often. They travel in their own circle, and they're surrounded by their own circle.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be true where Kenny lives.
Well, it's not true where I live.
And that's not true where you live, and it's only somewhat less true where you live, South St. Paul.
Yeah. Joe,
which has one of the finest mayors that any citizen could ask for.
I wish you'd move to St. Paul.
A guy named Jim Francis, who was a GLer. He's been with our show for ages.
Two days ago, you called me, and I was in a meeting with the mayor. The mayor was showing me how to tune a Mikuni carburetor. Because that's his job, turning wrenches on motorbikes and snowmobiles.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Can you see Fry or Carter? No. They don't know what a carburetor is.
No.
Seriously, they don't know what it is. I don't know if you'd have this trouble in Sioux Falls. For the time being, you certainly don't. If you're thinking about moving out of Minnesota, as I've said, I'll miss you, but I can't blame you for taking a long, hard look at Sioux Falls, which has the second best tax climate in the nation. You'd be leaving the 45th worst tax climate in the nation. You can increase your profits in Sioux Falls. You can find all this out at one word, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. Right now, it's still America. It's got safe streets and award-winning schools, and I doubt if dogs are patrolling the mall. Short commutes, vibrant growing downtown, and a pro-business attitude with people ready and willing to work. So, if you're going to relocate or build a new addition or start an expansion of your business, maybe 2024 is the time to make your move to Sioux Falls. Check out SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
You know, the investment game can be awfully tricky, especially in these volatile times. And that's why you need the best and also somebody that you can trust. And that's why I rely on Josh Arnold. We know him as Mr. Money Talk around these parts, and he's here for you. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute no obligation consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. 952-925-5608. Josh has been at this a long time with a track record of success, and he's here to help you. So give him a call today. No obligation. That's right. No obligation. It's absolutely free. 952-925-5608. And tell them you heard about them here on the Garage Logic podcast.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.
The earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
It's hard to keep this straight. So official winter is over. First spring is officially over, but real calendar spring is here. But now winter, second winter is coming back. Do I have that right?
I think
that's... no matter what happens, the crabgrass and the weeds are going to come early. Summer will come early. So if you want the best lawn on the block, get on the computer right now. Yeah, I said get, G-I-T, get, professionalturf.com. Go with them, a Minnesota lawn care company since 82. Don't send that renewal back to those clowns that did it last year that screwed everything up and left burn spots in your yard. Go with the company that we at GL use, the company that has service techs with over 20 years of experience, techs that do the same routes every year so they know your lawn better than you know your lawn. Schedule yourself a free in-person lawn care analysis and estimate right now, professionalturf.com. That's where you schedule it. They come out, they walk your yard, they tell you what they need. It'll be anywhere from 3, maybe 4 treatments throughout the summer, and it'll keep you in high clover. You'll have the best lawn on the block all season long. They do lawn care, landscape, and irrigation. Check them out, professionalturf.com.
You know what's this feeling of not feeling right about things? You know what it is? Hmm. And again, I'm going to go back and blame the failed academy for the most part.
Okay.
Why is the failed academy so distanced itself from seeing the goodness in life? Why is the failed academy only look for grievances? Why doesn't the failed academy ever see beauty?
It's almost like they celebrate misery.
They hire people to look for it.
Yeah, and to tell us how miserable we are.
I don't remember where I read it this morning. Damn it, I should have cut it out.
America's happiness score drops amid a midlife crisis for youth. Let me just give you the first paragraph.
This isn't the story I'm thinking about, but go ahead.
Oh, this is a great setup. The United States is no longer among the world's 20 happiest countries, according to a new report, with young people hit particularly hard and reporting lower levels of well-being than any other age group. We fell from 15th in 2023 to 23rd this year in happiness scores.
I blame that on the failed academy.
Is falling.
I was reading something that at the British Museum of Art, beautiful landscape paintings now contain labels.
What labels?
That say, I wish I would have cut it out. I apologize. Maybe John can find it. I don't know if he can. I don't know what to give you as search words. But they're in other words, they're frowning on the beauty of these landscape pictures because they reflect some sort of untoward nationalism.
Hmm. So manifest destiny or something?
Something like that. We're even finding fault with a beautiful painting of trees and a pond and a wooden fence. We're finding fault with that. So,
I'm thinking the Last Supper. I'm thinking that the Sistine Chapel, Mona Lisa. I'm thinking all the classic art pieces.
Why?
In an attempt to make its artistic displays more inclusive and representative, England's Fitzwilliam Museum is warning patrons that viewing paintings of the British countryside can evoke, quote, dark nationalistic feelings.
These people are so ruinous. They're so dark.
Yeah, why isn't it ever anything positive?
Why can't I look at that picture and lose myself in it? And think, man, I'd love to be just laying in there chewing on a weed, you know?
Yeah. The way you look at the Rockies.
Read on, John. Is there a rationale for this?
The museum reshuffled its art displays last week, rehanging the pieces based on theme rather than by time period. The Cambridge University main gallery has been undergoing a renovation for the last 5 years to reflect the evolution of its collection. That's what they're calling it. In the new configuration, contemporary art will be hung alongside paintings from the 1600s. One room centers on the theme of identity, featuring 18th century portraits of white Europeans next to modern works depicting figures of diverse races. Other themes include men looking at women, identity, migration and movement, and nature. Director Luke Sison says being inclusive and representative shouldn't be controversial. It should be enriching. I would love to think there's a way of telling these larger, more inclusive histories that doesn't feel as if it requires a pushback from those who try to suggest that any interest at all in this work would be what we now call woke.
What dark national interests am I supposed to divine from a landscape painting? None. The answer is none.
Okay.
It's a landscape painting. Why is there a fear of beauty? Why is there a fear of goodness? Why happiness. Is there a fear yeah. of happiness? Why is yep. there a fear of loveliness?
Right. It's always crisis or there's something negative that they feed off of, like piranhas.
The failed academy, this is not hyperbole, they hire people to look for this. So powerful is the oppressed and oppressor paradigm in America right now that it's contributing to the destruction of the country and it's resulting in the failed academy spending untold millions of dollars a year on salaries for administrations that are top heavy in people who... Oh, shoot, I didn't bring the St. Paul paper. Who's got a St. Paul paper?
I can print something up for you if you need it.
They're top heavy in diversity.
Okay.
Oh, I look, there's a woman, never mind, it's off the point. But I noted St. Kate's in St. Yeah. Paul just yep. got a new president.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. she might be a sweetheart. I have no idea. But you read her resume and... It meets all industry standards for the failed academy.
She was already a first from the place she was coming, both in her color and her sex.
Yeah, this is the second place. She'll be the first black woman to, this is the second place. She's the first.
Right. Yes, huh? Oddly enough, I get that.
Yeah. At St. Yeah. Kate's, she'll be the first black president.
I'll take the taste section.
But she was apparently the first black president elsewhere. Was it on page one?
Yeah, somewhere on the East Coast. I glanced through it. It's in the Star Tribune, too.
I got it here, and I think it's worth noting. Good luck to the gal. Here it is. St. Catherine University names new president. Her name is Marchetta Evans. She's coming here from Bloomfield College in New Jersey.
Yep.
She's a chancellor accustomed to breaking barriers. That's boilerplate failed academy language. And she'll do that again in July as the first black president of St. Catharines. Okay. The board said we were impressed by Dr. Evans' demonstrated commitment to and experience with advancing diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. God love you, Marchetta. I have nothing against you. I don't know you, and I wish you the best. But you just took a lot of courses you can't flunk is what that means.
Right.
And that's according to Jean Winsick, chair of the board. Evans was the first African-American and the first woman to serve as president as Bloomfield College. That's a private college in New Jersey. Last summer, she moved into the role of chancellor after the college merged with Montclair State, a public university, to create the newly named Bloomfield College of Montclair State. Okay, so this is the second place. She's the first. And she was drawn here by the St. Catharines commitment to empowering women and promoting social justice, boilerplate language from the failed academy. Promoting social justice is a different way to promote equity. Equity is a different way to promote very little consequences for wrong actions. What anything else here? And again, I cheer for the woman. I have a laying on of hands that go back to there, having taken some classes there. I don't wish them ill in any way, but I have no I have no evidence whatsoever to. Now, I'll drop it right there. Why not just leave good cheer for the gal? Just leave good cheer for the gal. But I didn't read anything that told me they had anyone with a clue about reality. Hmm. How's that?
Okay.
They just went out and got another CEO from the industry.
A boilerplate decision.
Yeah.
Did anybody interview her? Did she state her mission goals? Is she's going to clean this up or change this or
no.
strive to do this, that, or the other?
No, she can check all the boxes about equity, inclusion, diversity, and togetherness. Okay. Very good.
Back to the happiness thing.
Yeah.
This isn't new, though, right? Because I remember this, I think, preceded my time on Garage Logic. But you were confronted by a listener about this. Remember, he drove to the front desk and he looked at you and he said, "I'm not happy."
Oh yeah. And I said, "Which one are you?"
Right.
The short guy.
A little,
guy.
A little teeny guy got in the car.
I was gonna say the setup kind of missed something.
The short guy.
Yeah. Do I have time?
I remember the first time you told me that joke, I got so sucked.
I did
that.
Too.
I was like, "Why didn't you tell me you were in an accident?"
How did it go?
It was Moeller came over here. He said, "I'm late, but I just got hit in traffic." And I said, "Oh, man, I'm sorry. What happened?" He said, "A guy rear-ended me. He got out of the car. He came up to my door. I looked down at him. He's a real short guy. And he said, 'I'm not happy.'" And Moeller said, "Well, which one are you?" But it was really
good. I got it. I got to tell you, in my household here, we use that line on occasion if somebody says, "I'm not happy."
Yeah.
And, of course, the punchline always follows. And once my kid did it to my wife, who really wasn't happy, if you know what I'm saying.
I think so.
A, kind of a tense, and he used that line. It didn't work out well for anybody.
Every time I hear that joke, I realize I'm grumpy because that is
that's
just
right,
the
you're grumpy.
Dumbest damn joke I've ever.
Oh, that's so
just,
funny.
Just
Kenny,
stop with
it. So if I say to Kenny, "Who are you?" he'd say, "I'm grumpy.
I'm angry.
I'm angry.
I'm PO'd.
I don't think angry is one of the doors.
I'm crabby."
I'll get to be. I'm dopey then. I'll take.
Dopey. I'm gonna smack
well,
you.
See.
I'm hungry.
No argument here, Chris.
Our friend Bill Glahn at the American Experiment is noting that there's a new Communist Party about to give birth to itself in Minneapolis, called the Revolutionary Communists of America. Apparently, the Democratic Socialists we've elected aren't liberal enough.
Huh.
So these people want a 20-hour work week with no loss in pay, an end to unemployment, a national minimum wage of $1,250 a week, and universal health care. That works out to an hourly wage of $62.50. And, of course, the platform includes support for Hamas, nationalizing banks, etc. Confusingly, from a branding standpoint, the press release links to a site named socialistrevolution.org. And more confusingly, the Revolutionary Communists of America's Twitter account links to a different web address, communistusa.org. Mm. So who is they?
Yeah. Does it link to the Minneapolis City Council at all? Because it seems like that's their...
Minnesota's Democrats, styled as the DFL, were seen as too moderate. So this outfit, called Twin Cities Democratic Socialists of America, organized a takeover of the city councils in St. Paul and Minneapolis. But now the revolutionary communists say that the Democratic Socialists are too moderate. So in other words, we got to get in there and really tear things up. In the state's Democratic presidential primary this month, Uncommitted finished a respectable second, backed by the local DSA, among others, the Democratic Socialists of America. Uncommitted received 46,000 votes statewide, capturing almost one-fifth of the Democratic votes cast, gaining more than twice as many votes as Native Son candidate Congressman Dean Phillips. There currently is no officially recognized statewide socialist or communist party in Minnesota. In 2022, a candidate for governor qualified for the ballot under the Socialist Workers banner and gained 7,200 votes out of 2.5 million. That candidate was Gabriel Prosser, also ran as a socialist workers candidate for Minneapolis City Council's Ward 11 last year. She got 460 votes. In the 2020 presidential election in Minnesota, two socialist candidates qualified for the ballot. The better of the two got 1,200 votes behind independent Kanye West, 7,940 votes. But what they will tell you is that real communism has never been tried. And before I take a break, can I just quick leap to the news that communist Cuba is on the brink of total collapse. I think the two stories fit very well together. Okay. We have people here, poorly educated, spoiled, selfish, who want to bring about what they think is a communist party without realizing that all over the world you can see examples of where it fails.
Doesn't work.
And this is from the Japan Press, the independent voice in Asia. The surprise plea for food aid highlights the deepening economic crisis faced by Cuba. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's an unprecedented cry for help from a communist regime that has always prided itself on social welfare. Hurt by tightened U.S. restrictions, decaying domestic productions, a weak COVID-19 tourism industry, and indifference from its allies, the island is living through its worst economic days since the collapse of the Soviet Union more than three decades ago. A string of blackouts brought people into the streets last weekend shouting for food and power, a rare display of social unrest since the turmoil that shook the island in July 2021, which the regime contained with crushing force. Today's economic situation is a huge challenge for the Communist Party of Cuba that has controlled the nation since Fidel Castro's revolution in 1959. Witness the search for internal scapegoats and distractions. President Miguel Diaz-Canel announced an unusual investigation against an old ally and friend, Alejandro Gil Fernandez, for alleged corruption after firing him from the post of economic minister. You can look it up yourself. The headline is...
It just goes on and on.
Communist Cuba's on the brink of collapse.
I love that they cited COVID as a reason people didn't want to travel there. Tourism.
I think demanding food and power could be in the future of this country. I don't know how long, but unless there's a turnaround... Look at the condition of some of our large cities. Yep. How can you say that that's hyperbole? There's going to be a time, if we don't turn this around, where there'll be marches in the street for food and power. I hope that doesn't happen, and it might not. But they got dogs patrolling the Mall of America.
You don't like that, do you?
I don't really. That's really bothering me.
It really is, you can tell.
Really getting my craw. The only way to cheer up is to get to a neat place like EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake.
Leave your worries behind.
Well, it's brand new. It's huge, and it's just packed with the neatest recreational equipment for adults and kids you've ever seen, and a great big parking lot. So you go into EcoFun, you talk to Tim Bloom, or he'll give you somebody else to talk to. You get the electric bike you like, take it outside, zip it around the parking lot, fall in love with it, and get everything fixed.
Let's go.
Handlebar height. Pedal height, thickness of the tires, the seat,
banana
everything.
Seat?
The right seat. Well, anything can be done, and you'll test drive it right there. E-bikes are 20 to 40% off right now.
Nice.
All right. Vespa scooter sales are 10% off all 2023 models in stock. Yamaha UTVs are on sale. Kawasaki UTVs. What's UTV? Kenny.
That's Channel 26, isn't it?
Right. Ultimate.
Transportation vehicle.
Preseason
youth ATVs and Moto Guzzi motorcycles. Great helmet, apparel, and service, and really, really a neat store. Easy to find.
You got a helmet?
Oh, I got a beauty. Immediately west of Interstate 35E on Highway 97. Some people say it's in Columbus, Minnesota.
Mm.
You know what? I'm going to say it's in Forest Lake.
That's what I'm going with.
It's right there.
I know where Columbus is. I know where Forest Lake is.
EcoFunMotorsports.com.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Soucheray.
And ironically, I like disco now more than I did when it was happening. So sort of I can't explain that either. Anyway,
okay,
on to new business. Been spending an unusual amount of time this week on the newly relaunched MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com website, learning a whole lot about our guy Rich, the owner, and his 40 years of industry experience. Anything you need for anything at all related to locks, Rich at Maple Grove Lock and Safe, he's the solution. He carries the best safe in the country, the Liberty Safe. It seems like there's always a sale going on with the Liberty lineup, and right now you can save up to $710 on the Fat Boy Junior Extreme, and you'll also save, I think it's, if I remember right, $400-some on the Colonial 23 through April 8th. Look it up on the website. The Liberty, made right here in the USA, best warranty in the business, fully transferable, and the best fire protection, and the best selection. And GLers always get a little something extra with Rich. Even with the sale going on right now with the Liberty, you can get 15% off all small, quick combo and key vaults. Maple Grove Lock and Safe. They're at 6901 East Fish Lake Road. That's, guess where? Maple Grove. Yep. And that fancy new website, look up that sale for the Liberty, MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com.
John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. This news brought to you by North American Banking Company. As Uber outlines plans to move out of the metro, the city council in Minneapolis may be moving closer to reversing a vote that overrode a veto from the mayor. This all goes around the controversial transportation ride share worker protection ordinance. Along with strengthening protection for drivers, it increases pay. Now, both Uber and Lyft argue it would make rider fares too expensive, would drive customers away, and they both said they'd leave the city as of May 1st. Last week, the city council voted 10-3 to override a veto from Mayor Jacob Fry, but now Councilmember Andrea Jenkins officially filed a notice to reconsider the vote. She was one of the 10 council members who voted in favor. The council now is expected to take reconsideration up again at Thursday's council meeting. Pushing back against the reconsidering, authors of the ordinance, Councilmembers Robin Wansley, Jason Chavez, and Jamal Osman. They shared a statement saying pressure from the companies is no reason to change the vote. The reason Jenkins possibly changing her vote is significant is because it moves the council further away from a veto-proof vote. 9 council members need to vote in favor of the rideshare ordinance, and 10 would have to there. It would take Jenkins and another council member changing their vote to overturn their ordinance.
So riddle me this then. Just last segment, you were talking about the 20-hour work week and how we want to pay you the same amount. With these idiots making a decision like that, what kind of attempt would that do to drive away business?
That would not happen with the Revolutionary Communist Party.
I see.
They would come in and take over. Get it working perfectly.
It'd be okay then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Story we talked about a bit earlier, a use of force trainer for the state patrol said he thinks the trooper charged with murder for that shooting during a traffic stop last summer followed his training. That according to a defense filing yesterday. In the filing, Sergeant Jason Halverson accused a senior prosecutor in the Hennepin County Attorney's Office of taking his statements out of context and lying by omission, his words, to write the charging document against Ryan Londrigan. Londrigan faces second-degree murder, first-degree assault, and second-degree manslaughter charges for the shooting death of Ricky Cobb II. In the defense filing, Halverson said he explained to prosecutors that use of force actions are situationally dependent, but added that Trooper Londrigan acted in accordance with his training. Hennepin County's attorney's office called claims in the filing false, saying there's significant evidence that supports charges in the case. The statement also says the filing doesn't reference evidence from when Halverson testified in front of a grand jury, evidence the office says cannot be legally revealed at this stage of the proceedings.
Is she part of an organized effort to deflate the culture, or is it just her personal ideology?
Yes and yes.
Yes.
There's no either or.
All right.
The man who was considered by prosecutors to be the mastermind behind the kidnapping murder of a Minneapolis real estate agent has now had his conviction reversed by the Minnesota Supreme Court. This happened yesterday. Lyndon Wiggins, also known as Lyndon Sworn or by the alias L.A., Minneapolis, was convicted of first-degree murder and kidnapping. You'll remember this story. It's the death of Monique Baugh. Court records show the convictions are now reversed and remanded. He was serving a life sentence already for Baugh's murder. But court documents filed yesterday say that the district court abused its discretion by giving erroneous jury instructions on accomplice liability. This is the second person to have their conviction overturned in the case. We told you last month about Elsa Segura, a former Hennepin County probation officer and girlfriend of Wiggins. She used her position and access to illegally obtain information on Baugh before Baugh was kidnapped and killed. The conspiracy involved other people working to lure Baugh to a bogus house showing, which led to her murder on New Year's Eve 2019. Prosecutors say another conspirator, Cedric Berry, used Baugh's house keys to enter her home and shoot her boyfriend, believed to be a rival drug dealer. That boyfriend recovered. Wiggins' attorneys also argued that the district court abused its discretion by denying motions to suppress cell site location information, but the Supreme Court ruled against that appeal, saying there was probable cause to search his cellular records. A future court date for Wiggins has not yet been set. The Hennepin County Attorney's Office said they will try Wiggins again on the charges.
Matthew, how do you pronounce that name?
Mrs. Wiggins.
There were no injuries reported.
You know you're not supposed to do bad stuff to bad people. Mrs. Wiggins. Thank you, Kenny.
There were no injuries reported in a shots fired incident at the LA Fitness in Edina on Wednesday night.
Come according to Edina, has it, John?
According to the Edina Police Department, at about 8 o'clock, police responded to a reported shooting at the LA Fitness on West 76th Street. Officers got there, did not find any victims or suspects. Initial info suggests a disturbance inside the building earlier in the night resulted in the suspects leaving and then coming back. Officials say after they returned, a confrontation occurred where a gun was displayed and at least one shot fired. But a witness there said he was in a Zumba class and he heard what he believed to be multiple gunshots. Authorities say the suspects ran out of the building and left in a vehicle. Police are processing the scene, reviewing security footage. That incident is currently under
investigation. What's a Zumba class?
It's a fitness Zumba class.
You have to wear Zubas?
No, Zumba.
Oh, Zumba. Yeah. Zumba.
Isn't that what... That's what cleans your carpet, isn't it? Isn't that
Zumbas?
That's a Roomba.
That's a Roomba.
That's a Roomba.
What do you suppose they were arguing about? Like chocolate cake versus the angel food cake?
No. As a guy that used to work in the fitness industry,
I can't figure it out.
This is all basketball court related. This is probably, I'm not going to generalize, but we can all make an assumption as to what type of group it was.
Kind of funny that it's come to Edina, though.
Yeah, it's not that shocking. But what happens is a lot of these pickup games get extremely heated. I've had to break up I don't know how many fights.
Chris, you're very serious.
No, but I'm just saying that's exactly what this is. It didn't even surprise me.
Yeah, now it's in his world, so he's really KO'd. It's four times.
No, I don't personally don't care.
See, something ain't right. You go to your Zumba class in Edina, you shouldn't fear getting shot.
Do you ride your Zumba around the room? How's that work? What's the Zumba?
I'm not going to lie. I belong to a gym, and it bugs me. Oh. Every gym I've ever belonged to has the equipment with your back facing the door. That's always bugged me. And my wife thinks I'm nuts, of course.
No, I wouldn't go there. I would turn it around so I can see the door.
Yeah, I want to see the door as I'm doing my exercise.
Hell, I give the church the once around. I eyeball the church. And you know why? Things are just a little off.
Okay.
Just a little off.
Upside down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rick's going to sing again. Stop it, Chris. No. Why don't we take a little break here? And here's a chance to sing Upside Down, Rick. Go ahead.
No, we don't need that. Let's go. We have a nice show going. Let's not screw it up.
Welter heating. Boy, they turn me inside. Welter Heating online at welterheating.com. If you have a very bad voice, they don't care about that. All they want you to do is have properly working furnaces, heating units, air conditioning units, air purifiers, whatever the case may be, and they back it up. They back it right up with 120 years of experience in the metro area here. Four generations, certified techs that work on your equipment. And remember, it's not too early. If it was AC was making some noise last year, but you escaped this summer without having to fix it, don't leave that to chance.
You live in Fulda?
Don't leave that to chance. If the good Lord willing and the crick don't rise, You need to get in touch with Welter Heating. Don't roll any dice. Don't take any chances. A human being will answer the phone during business hours, 612-825-6867. And yes, it's been 68 seconds that I've had that. 612-825-6867. Don't leave anything to chance. Check out WelterHeating.com. I know.
I love Thursday.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Soucheray.
I got to be honest. I can't keep up with all of the emails that I've been getting about Linda Keller and Keller Tax Service, so I'll just have to pick and choose a couple. This one comes from Rick Nyquist. Chris, just wanted to send a quick note about Linda Keller Tax Service. Last year, after completing my taxes on a popular online program, I felt like I was going to pay more than I should. Hearing the ads on GL about Linda Keller, or Mrs. Miller, as Joe says, I made an appointment after meeting with Linda. I ended up saving over $1,200 on what I owed the IRS. That's at least one or two Taylor Swift tickets. The process with Linda was so easy, why would I go back to doing them myself? Linda sent me info back in January to prepare, and I have a great peace of mind knowing that my taxes are done properly. I encourage other GLers to give Linda a chance. Thanks. Telling you, Rick and others have made the switch to Keller Tax Service, and you should too. You still have time. What are we, less than a month to go before filing date? Greg sent me an email too about he and his wife using Linda Keller for the very first time. Everyone goes away satisfied. She handles 3/5 of the GL staff. She also does appointments on Saturdays. I believe she still does have some availability for that, but just go on the website, kellertaxservice.com, and you can book your appointment right there online. You can also get up-to-date tax information if she does that on her website as well. And what else am I forgetting to mention? Like I said, just make sure you mention that you heard about her on the Garage Logic podcast. She's the best.
Thank you, Chris. In fact, I just got my final email from Linda this morning on my taxes.
She had to send me a text that said, hey, dummy, I'm asking for the final time about a certain document I forgot to include.
Whoops.
Sorry, Linda.
In national and international news, the Department of Justice suing Apple this morning, saying its iPhone ecosystem is a monopoly that drove its astronomical valuation, their words, at the expense of consumers, developers, and rival phone makers. The lawsuit claims that Apple's anti-competitive practices extend beyond the iPhone and Apple Watch business, citing their advertising, browser, FaceTime, and news offerings. The Justice Department said in a release that to keep consumers buying iPhones, Apple moved to block cross-platform messaging apps, limited third-party wallets and smartwatch compatibility, and disrupted non-app store programs and cloud streaming services. The challenge represents a significant risk to Apple's walled garden business model. The company says that complying with regulations costs the company money, could prevent it from introducing new products or services, and could hurt customer demand.
John, who's this coming from? Is this the Amish crybabies that don't have Apple phones? Is that who we're hearing from here? Just be an adult and get an Apple phone. Be done with it.
Keith Ellison was very quick to point out on social media that he's also going after, you know, he's joining the club to going after would. Apple.
So there he has one of those big clown phones that poor people have.
But that's what I understand. And by the way, Mr. Money Talk has a tirade about this later in the program. But no one's forcing you to buy an iPhone.
Nope.
What's the problem?
I'm going to have to listen to him today. What time is that on?
Very end of the show.
All right. Well, if you want a real phone that works, you buy an iPhone.
Right.
Well, how about a landline, okay? You dial it.
A landline?
I got one.
Zero.
Rotary.
The biggest donor
the
in this U.S.
party to whom I'm speaking?
What? Yes. The party?
Where's the party?
Yeah.
The biggest donor in this U.S. election cycle is Jeffrey Yaz, a libertarian trading firm owner who started off as a professional poker player and now is a major investor in TikTok's Chinese owner ByteDance. The Philadelphia-based Yaz has donated more than $46 million to Republican causes so far in the 2024 election cycle, according to data from political donations tracker Open Secrets. The funds went to support former rivals of Donald Trump for the Republican presidential nomination, as well as a raft of groups supporting school choice programs that use taxpayer dollars to send students to private and religious schools. The 65-year-old Yaz was thrust into the spotlight this week after Trump, the Republican presidential candidate, reversed course on his preference for banning TikTok, saying that a ban would hurt some children and only strengthen Meta Platforms' Facebook. Trump made the comments days after he met Yaz at a gathering of the Conservative Club for Growth donor group in Florida. The U-turn on TikTok amid a major cash crunch led to speculation that Trump maybe tried to court Yaz. Trump says the pair only met for a few minutes and did not talk about TikTok, but instead talked about education. Two former Mississippi deputies wept in court yesterday as a federal judge sentenced them to years in prison and condemned their cruelty for breaking into a home with four other officers and torturing two men. U.S. District Judge Tom Lee sentenced 29-year-old Christian Deadman to 40 years in prison, 28-year-old Daniel Updike to 17.5 years. The judge said Deadman carried out the most shocking, brutal, and cruel attacks imaginable against two black men, Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Terrell Parker, and against a white man during a traffic stop weeks earlier. Deadman wouldn't look at Jenkins and Parker, but he did apologize, saying he'd never be able to forgive himself for the pain he caused. On Tuesday, two other men were sentenced by Lee to prison for 17 and a half years. It all started back in January 2023 with a complaint called to police, someone saying two black men were living with a white woman on the block. At that point, That was the complaint, yes. And the group here, who call themselves the Goon Squad, the police officers, texted all the other deputies asking them if they were available for a mission. Once inside, they handcuffed Jenkins and his friend Parker, poured milk, alcohol, and chocolate syrup over their faces, forced them to strip naked and shower together to conceal the mess. They mocked the victims with racial slurs and shocked them with stun guns. After Elwood shot Jenkins in the mouth, accidentally, apparently he was just trying to threaten him, but his gun went off, lacerated the man's tongue and broke his jaw, they devised a cover-up that included planting drugs and a gun. False charges stood against the two black men for months before they were dismissed. The other two cops involved in this will be sentenced this afternoon.
Who was the most angry at those cops?
Other cops.
Yeah.
One step forward, these guys took you five steps back.
This was last year? 2023.
Well,
what January. They must have just been real white trash guys.
What hillbilly inbred state was this? Mississippi.
Well, this would be a direct result of lowering your standards, right?
I don't know what it is. It's just pathetic.
Wow. Almost 40, so he's been a cop for a while, I would guess. Oof. Authorities are searching for a white supremacist Idaho prison inmate who could be dangerous, they say, and an accomplice who fled after the accomplice shot and wounded corrections officers as they were transporting the inmate from a Boise hospital. Police say Nicholas Umfenauer is suspected of shooting two corrections officers during the ambush yesterday. A warrant with a $2 million bond has been issued for his arrest on two charges of aggravated battery against law enforcement. He and inmate Skyler Mead drove off early Wednesday after the shooting in a gray 2020 Honda Civic with Idaho plates. It was not known as of this morning where they were, and there had been no reports of anyone seeing them. Officials described the 31-year-old Mead as a white supremacist gang member. He was sentenced to 20 years in 2017 for shooting at a sheriff's sergeant during a high-speed chase. He's a member of the Aryan Knights. The Aryan Knights formed in the mid-1990s in the Idaho prison system to organize criminal activity for a select group of white prisoners in custody.
Can we go back to the cops in Mississippi story?
Yes, sir.
Is the only reason they went to the house is because somebody called and said two black guys and a white gal are living in a house on our block?
That's correct.
Yes. It didn't stem from a traffic stop?
No.
They just went because of that?
Yep, and the head of that gang, they called themselves the Goon Squad, called up all the other officers and said, we have a mission to go on. Let's go do it. And he said, left it out of the story, but he said, don't beat them to the point where there's any bruises. So that's
with no prior contact. No prior contact, John?
Yep.
This is the 30s. This is the teens.
1937.
This is 120 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Three boys dubbed the Little Rascals for allegedly robbing a bank in Houston, Texas.
Which to
Texas.
Me is an insult against the little rascal.
Yeah. I'd call it, I have a more kind of adult name for these little F-bombs.
Little A-H's.
I've been arrested.
The juvenile, oh, they're just rascals, Joe. They just robbed a bank.
I thought it was kind of a cute story. The juveniles, ages 11, 12, and 16. Have each been charged with robbery by threat, according to a spokesperson for the Harris County Sheriff's Office. It was the FBI's office in Houston that nicknamed the underage suspects after they were caught on camera March 14th, allegedly robbing a Wells Fargo bank. The FBI posted a photo on X of the hoodie-clad threesome inside the bank's lobby and asked the public for help finding them with a note, "Recognize these little rascals?" Believe it or not, they just robbed the Wells Fargo.
I'll be honest, that's embarrassing that they would post that. Robbing a bank and they're calling them little rascals?
The boys passed a threatening note to a bank teller and then fled on foot with an undisclosed stash of cash. The parents of two of the boys identified them after the FBI released the picture, called the agency. The third boy was identified by authorities.
Did they look like Spanky and Alfalfa and Buckwheat?
There's no mugshots released because, of course, they're minors. There's no names. No mugshots.
I got news for you. They're robbing a bank at 11. They're going to be in prison by 18.
Yeah. Not if Mary gets her hands.
That's
out.
A good point.
Yeah. John, thank you.
Hey, man, one other note.
Yes.
If you just hang on with me 1 minute. Because
sure.
M. Emmett Walsh, you guys familiar with him?
Yeah, he was a hell of an actor.
Yeah, he died. He passed away. He was 88 years old. And he was in the first Coen Brothers movie, which if you've never seen Blood Simple, you should watch it immediately. It's just a wonderful
movie.
Was he the
Lebowski in The Big Lebowski?
He was not in Lebowski.
That wasn't him.
The only two movies of theirs he was in was Blood Simple and Raising Arizona. And in an interview I saw with him after I saw he died, he said they replaced him with John Goodman in their movies because Goodman was kind of the same body build. That
I think I saw him in a Rockford episode.
Mm. Yeah, he was in a ton of stuff. Yeah. His list of
He's unmistakable when you see him.
Yeah, and Blood Simple, he was wonderful. I won't give away what he was because that's the whole plot of the movie. But
All right. Say, welcome back, Grunhofer's old-fashioned meat. With that new store in White Bear Lake. It's in Birch Lake Square. It's right on Highway 96. And Jake, Spencer's nephew, Jake, is the store manager there. If you want the exact address, I don't think you need it. It's 96 Birch Lake Square, but it's 1350 Highway 96 East. Now, Easter is right around the corner, and if you haven't had a Grunhofer's ham for your Easter, you're missing out. Then there's three locations to get one: the new store in White Bear, the Anchor store in Hugo, just north of Hugo on Highway 61, and the store in Forest Lake, just east of 35E on Highway 97. You can follow Grunhofer's on Facebook and Instagram. They got BOGO brat specials, and every week a new series of featured brats will be recruited. I'm not sorry. I'm sorry. Will be included. They don't recruit the brats.
You can recruit a brat.
They include the brats. It's a great way to try one of the many new flavors for free with the purchase of one regularly priced pack. And, of course, Grunhofer's is noted for about 130 flavors of brats. Great steaks,
you
chicken,
like,
fish, chops, shoulders, ham, Easter ham.
They're featuring the Hawaiian chicken bratwurst, pineapples, cherries, and bacon.
It sounds
stuffed
wonderful.
Stuffed into a Hawaiian
Now, that brat. Does sound good.
It does sound good.
Now, see, you can do a BOGO.
Mm-hmm.
Buy some other kind of brat and try that one.
Yep. It's springtime, so let's go.
Grunhofer's Old Fashioned Meats. Welcome back, Spencer and Jake, at the new store on Highway 96 in Birch Lake Square.
Scooney on the phone. You know why? It's because it's Positive Thursday, and we're being positive today on Garage Logic. And as always, Positive Thursday brought to us by Schoonover Body Works and Auto Care. They're in Shoreview, 1060 County E. Pretty much everything you need can be related. Everything you need related to auto care can be had at Schoonover's. Hi, Mike. I'm sober. I promise you, I'm sober.
You're doing. You're doing great, Kenny. Keep it up.
You're doing great. I've heard doctors tell me that before. Mike, there's a reason why Schoonover Body Works and Auto Care is the official body shop of GL, because you guys, to us, are simply the best. And we're hearing that more and more from GLers. Larry McMahon wrote on a Google review, Garage Logic kept you at the top of my mind. Your service and hospitality was great. Kudos to Quinn and your mechanics. Sounds like you sent another GLer away happy, Mike.
Well, we aim to please. That's what our job is. That's the bottom line. The car stuff is secondary. Fixing GLers problems, that's the first and foremost, or quote unquote top of mind.
And no distance too great to use Schoonover to work on our rides. I'm coming to you about 160 miles away, and I know you guys restored a truck for a guy living in Duluth, and now I'm hearing Graham and Grandpa brought their Explorer in from Buffalo, Minnesota. That's a haul.
Well, you know what? If you're going to have it fixed, you might as well have it fixed right. And
yeah.
I don't mean to sound arrogant or cocky or whatever, but we work really hard to make these vehicles safe and get them back to where they belong, and that's what our focus is. So, and I think GLers have a leg up on other people because they know.
I know we talked about this last week, but I need to know, ahead of the big storm that's coming tonight and then over the weekend, how many people have swapped out their snow tires and gone back to their summer tires already? Has it been a big number?
No, there's just me and my knucklehead brother. everybody else has got the same thought process as Joe, or they just haven't gotten around to it yet. But you know what? Waiting another week or two probably worked out well. So
you cannot stop him. He'll just make a move. Joe Soucheré.
I didn't hit any ramp, did I?
No, that's okay.
Only because they come to us all the way from Lake Las Vegas, Nevada, from the Traveling Lymans. It was on this day.
I think today is March 21st.
In 1864, George Edgar Vincent was born in Rockford, Illinois. A sociologist and a graduate of Yale, he served from 1911 to 1917 as the third president of the U of M and an academic house cleaner. His reforms during his energetic term brought the institution into the modern era of education in Minnesota. Now, his name is George Edgar Vincent. I'm unaware of any building's name for him because I'm sure he did something wrong, and right. that name should go. On this day,
3-2-1.
In 1913, after a wild chase early in the morning in North Minneapolis rail yards, railroad employees and armed police detectives captured Harry Christensen, who was suspecting of robbing boxcars. For a time, Christensen managed to evade his pursuers by rolling under and jumping over and through coupled cars moving around the yards, but he eventually became confused and ran directly into the arms of the detectives.
Whoops.
Uh-oh. And that made this day in history.
Yeah, huh. They were searching.
A confused railroad robber ran into the arms of the detectives. I wonder if he was Polish.
Jaksza Masz.
No, his name was Christensen. What would that be? Scandinavian?
Yeah.
Probably.
Thank you, GLers.
Thank you.
Vincent Hall on the University of Minnesota's East Bank campus named in his honor.
Well, there's got to be somebody researching we speak.
The oppressed must change.
They
that.
Have to be unhappy. Yes. They need to find something unhappy about him.
Which one are you?
The way you guys sound, I think you're unhappy.
I'm very happy.
No, John, I am. Extremely.
Which one are you?
I'm
hey,
grumpy.
If you can't get Crabby enough ass. Of Garage Logic, you should join the thousands of GLers who have found us on YouTube. Just search for Garage Logic Podcast and subscribe for near daily content, including behind the scenes content, full segments, and video shorts. That's Garage Logic Podcast on YouTube. Shh. It is that time once again that we check in with our guy, Mr. Money Talk. Josh Arnold is with us once again here in Garage Logic, and now's the time for you to do the same. So do not delay. Do exactly what I did and pick up that phone and dial 952-925-5608. That number once again is 952-925-5608. You call that number, you get Josh, and you will get him for that free 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation. And he's on the line with us once again here in Garage Logic. And boy, Josh, some big news today. The DOJ is suing Apple over iPhone monopoly in a landmark antitrust case. Wow.
You do not know how upset P.O. and any other expletive that I can shout out over the government going after Apple as a monopoly. The government alleges that Apple has caused consumers unbelievable harm with their walled garden. They have said that Apple has become one of the world's largest companies by market capitalization and has earned extraordinary amounts of money and profits by hurting consumers as well as hurting competitors with their iPhone and all the products that operate with the iPhone. The government has said that Apple is bad, is a bad company, only out for their own profits. And I'm sure many people would agree with that, that Apple is only after their own aggrandizement, and implied that Apple is deserving of a major fine and needs to change completely the manner in which they do business. The government alleges that Apple's walled garden is bad for consumers as well as competitors and makes it difficult for competitors of Apple or others to interoperate with Apple product, whether it's the iPhone, especially around the iPhone. It said that founder Steve Jobs started back in 2010, which is 3 years after the iPhone came out, to make it difficult for competitors to interoperate with the iPhone. And especially Steve Jobs wanted to lock in iPhone users to the Apple's walled garden by making it difficult for people to switch from an iPhone to a Google phone. And that has led to Apple being the dominant phone with a 64% share of the U.S. smartphone market. Excuse me, well, I throw my hands up and say, I chose to buy an Apple smartphone. I chose to discard my flip phone to get an iPhone. I chose the iPhone over at that time using a BlackBerry. And I chose that because of the ease of use and what I saw back in, I'll say, when I first bought the iPhone, which was late. I was not an early adopter to the iPhone, though I've been a shareholder, a recommender of the stock, I'll say, since before 2004. Yes, Apple is my largest position and my client's largest position. So yes, I am talking my book. But Apple's products and services, as far as I'm concerned, are top notch. And the more that Apple adds to this, the more, and this might justify the government's argument, the more I am attached to my iPhone and my iWatch. I do like them. They have services, they have features that I like. They're easy to use. They do not. I mean, here the government says it's tough for interoperability. Well, why aren't you going after Microsoft? Because it's very difficult for me to get information from my iPhone onto my Windows computer. You're not going after this to the government. You're not going after Microsoft on that. And Microsoft has a dominant share in the PC market, the server market, and they could have a dominant share right now in artificial intelligence in terms of services. They have, Microsoft has a dominant share, pretty strong share,
in the cloud, and the government is not going after them. Why? There are other competitors. There's other places to go. Microsoft does use their power in terms of talking to companies that, hey, you've got already have these servers. Why not add these other services? Apple's doing the same thing, quite frankly, in the consumer market. I do not see the government's case at all. But when it comes to the government suit, if you read it through, the government wants to tell Apple how Apple should operate their business. And to me, the government is doing what they can not to increase innovation, but to stifle innovation.
And that's why we call you Mr. Money Talk for that straight talk and never, ever sugar-coated advice, and why we always love having you on the show.
Oh, I'm sorry for my rant, but it just pisses me off to no end.
952-925-5608, where you'll always get the straight talk and never, ever that sugar-coated advice. Call Josh today for that free 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation, and he'll give you the unedited rant on that phone call. Josh, as always, thank you so much for the time, the chat. Have a great rest of your day, a fantastic weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, thank you.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.